Good morning again. Today is an introduction to our first ever Orphan Sunday, which we're going to celebrate next Sunday on November 13th with a lot of other churches around the world. We struggled with this as a staff because the question was, how can we fit what we want to do in Orphan Sunday, without keeping our people here for a really long time? And finally, we pulled back and said, we don't have to fit Orphan Sunday into one Sunday. Perhaps we could have Orphan Sundays. And so here we are. I want to tell you a story. And I'm going to introduce this story by telling you about some of the other stories we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. So for the rest of our time together, just kind of hang on for the ride, okay? I don't tell you this often, but today would be a great day for you to pull out your worship folder, and the front of that worship folder is just pretty much blank aside from our church logo. Today would be a great day for you to have a pen in hand so you can just kind of write down notes as the Lord speaks to you or as you hear something that strikes your interest, and maybe the Lord will have something significant to say to you today or in the days ahead. Well, today I'm gonna walk you through a story about my experience this past May at the at a conference that I was able to be at, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But I'm going to walk through kind of my few days there at that conference. And then also next Sunday, we're going to do something that we've never, ever, ever done before in the life of this church, at least since I've been here, which is we're going to have a movie Sunday morning. When you come in next Sunday, you're going to pick up a bag of popcorn and a soda, and we're going to view a movie together called Find Me. That's how we're going to celebrate our Orphan Sunday next Sunday. It's not all we're going to do next Sunday, but that's going to be a part of it. Encourage you to be back and maybe even bring a friend with you next Sunday. On November 20th, we're going to have Tim and Marie Cook with us. They are the founders of the Nathaniel's Hope Ministry. Nathaniel's Hope grew out of their own experience with their son Nathaniel when they lost him at a very early age. And today, Nathaniel's Hope is an opportunity to serve and reach out into the lives of families with special needs, and very specifically through a ministry called Buddy Break, for which Centerpoint has already received a grant to facilitate as a ministry for families right here in our communities that have children with special needs. Very excited to have Tim and Marie Cook with us on the 20th. And then we're going to jump into Advent. As we launch into the Advent season, we're going to jump into Advent, and we're going to hear some stories about Jesus's birth. And so for the four Sundays that we celebrate Advent and Christmas together, we're going to go back to the birth narratives of Jesus's life as we hear and see the story that grew out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the beginnings of Jesus's life and what that means for us. And then also along the way, we're gonna get to be a part of our children's Christmas musical entitled, yeah, one person knows the name of that thing. I'm so impressed. Yeah, Sheep in Heavenly Peace. You know, I just had this idea, if Pastor Ryan's out there somewhere, we should give the VBS CDs to all the families in the church, not just the kids who are going through this thing, so they can all know the songs when they come in on the first Sunday of December for Sheep in Heavenly Peace. You definitely will not want to miss that. All right, everybody good? Say uh-huh. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a shotgun approach this morning, which means we're going to be kind of all over the board, but we're going to work our way to a common place. And I want you to just right now, don't do this often. Sometimes it's pretty cheesy. Try not to make it cheesy with your neighbor, but turn to your neighbor right now and say these two phrases. It's not our plan. It's God's plan. We'll try it again. It's not our plan. It's God's plan. Okay, with that, we're gonna dive into two scriptures, and then I want to tell you a story this morning. The first one is out of John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. It's Family Worship Sunday. I'm going to be going pretty fast this morning because there's a lot for us to cover. So bear with me and make notes as you need to. So here we are, John 14, beginning at verse 15 down to 21. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Right? If you love me, you're going to do what I ask you to do. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Anyone who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Flip over to James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. It's on the screen. If you don't know where James is, or if you don't have your Bible with you this morning, it's right here. So John 14, Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commands. We flip over to James 27, 127. Here's what the writer says. He says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this day. God, thanks for the gift of your word. Pray that it would take root in us today and that it would grow and produce fruit. Lord, as we cover a lot of ground and a lot of material this morning, Lord, give us ears to hear. Help us to focus. God, focus in on you and your voice in our lives. And Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be holy and pleasing to you. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm convinced that there are moments in life where when they hit us, perhaps we don't really know just how significant those moments are at that time. In other words, there are times where we go through moments in life where we have to get away from that actual moment to be able to look back and go, wow, that was something really holy or really significant that was taking place right there. And now I had to experience some separation in order to understand that or realize that. I had one of those moments back in May of this year. I was sitting in the parking lot of ORMC, and I saw a Facebook post from Caroline Till that she had extra tickets to the CAFO 2016 conference. Prior to seeing this post, I did not know what CAFO was. In fact, there's a women's department store in the South called K-To, and the logo actually looks strangely familiar to K-To. I had never heard of CAFO. I had never, ever heard of the Christian Alliance for Orphans. So I reached out to her, thought, man, this would be something worth checking into. So I reached out to her, and sure enough, they were available. And I'll be honest with you, Caroline, sometimes we do things with the hopes that the person may respond and go, ow, I actually gave them away already. And you're like, well, at least I reached out to you, right? I sent the text. No, I texted her, and sure enough, they were available. And at that point, trepidation starts to set in because I was pretty excited about going to the CAFO 2016 conference, even though I didn't know anything about it. But there was some anxiousness there because I didn't know what to expect. And I was certain this was going to be the timeshare approach to adopting children. I'm serious. I had these images in my head of them pulling us in a side room and like beating us over the head. Like, we're going to do this until you agree to adopt a child, you know. Like, I'm probably going to just come home tonight with a kid that we didn't have before. And like, hey, this is Johnny, you know. That's kind of the idea I really had going into this thing. So I was surprised on the first night when the president of CAFO preached a sermon. And he preached on one of the most simple, yet I'm convinced one of the most effective lies that the devil would tell us, which is simply this: you can't make a difference. That's what he said. One of the simplest yet most effective lies that we can be told by the enemy: you cannot make a difference. He, of course, does not believe that lie, and therefore he went on to preach a great sermon encouraging us to plant seeds. His image for seed planting was that of the sequoia tree. He asked the question on this night. He said, how can we become people like the sequoia? I didn't know this about the sequoia. But he says, here's what the deal is about the sequoia tree. He says, despite how tall the sequoia grows, the roots of the sequoia actually go down much farther than its trunk goes tall. He said, likewise, In our own life, it's not about what's on the surface. It's about the depth and strength of our roots that actually matter. The depth and strength that come from growing down deep rather than up. He says what really matters in our lives as believers, again, by this point, I'm waiting on them to pull me out, right? And convince me of what I needed to do through this conference. And now here the president of this organization is standing in front of me and saying, you know what the most important thing you could do with your life? As you walk with Christ, is determined to grow deep. Not to grow up, to go deep, to grow strong. And he broke down these two worlds. He said, often those who want to grow up find success in size. In other words, if what I'm doing, if what I'm a part of, if it's big and there's a lot of people, it's probably really successful. He says, instead, if you grow down, you seek quality for those that are involved. He says, for those of us that want to grow up, he said, often we desire reputation or to simply be seen by other people for what we are doing. But he says, those of us who want to grow down, we desire self-sacrifice, serving others, even if that means behind the scenes, never seen by others. He says, many of those of us who want to grow up, we make it hard for those around us to say no because there's so much pressure on us to grow up. We need the support of others in order for that to happen. And so we pressure each other to say, well, you've got to do what I need you to do so I can grow up. And he says, the person who wants to grow down focuses on the things that really matter in life. Those who want to grow up, he says, produce results for about 3 years and then they're done. He says those who want to grow downward produce results that affect generations still to come. He says those who want to grow up, they want to be producing all the time. Every second of the day, they want to be producing something, doing something. He says those who want to grow down, they understand that bearing fruit comes in season and it requires seasons and opportunities of rest in order for that to happen. He says those of us who want to grow up, we talk a lot. Those who want to grow down are very good listeners. And then he looks at us and he says, our world needs Christians who grow deep and focus on the below the surface realities of our own lives. At that point, I literally sat in First Baptist Orlando and I was just kind of stunned. Like, okay, I wasn't expecting this. This is really good stuff. Perhaps the Lord has something to say to my own life related to this. Then he makes his turn. He says, children and teens and loving families is the fruit of the spiritual orphan movement. I'm going to repeat that for you. It's not on the screen. Children and teens and loving families is the fruit of the spiritual orphan movement. But he asks the question, how do we start? How do we start to address those issues? He says, well, we have to determine that we want to grow deep before we grow tall. He said, but spiritual growth requires spiritual disciplines. Spiritual growth deep into the ground requires spiritual habits that are steady, that are repeated, so we can receive the goodness of God in our own lives. And then he challenged us towards several spiritual disciplines. I'm going to share just four with you today. He said, first and foremost, we need to be memorizing Scripture. In other words, we need to be seeking the Lord through the Word of God so that we're getting into the Word of God in such a way that the Word of God is getting into us and the Word is attaching itself to our hearts. So that when we hear the voices and the noise from the outside world, Pastor Ryan prayed about this a while ago. We've been in the midst of election season. Who's ready for that to be over with? Man, you can spend your entire day just listening to the noise of the world around you, and the next thing you know, the day's over, and we haven't submitted ourselves to the Word at any point. And he takes it a step further. He says, not only submit yourself to the Word, he says, begin to memorize the Word. Begin to memorize the Scripture so that it takes root in your heart. The second one, he says, seek solitude. He challenged us to spend extended time what he called twice a year, every 6 months, but to spend extended time in scripture, in prayer, in journaling, in walking, and in singing. Twice a year, get away for a day, 2 days, read the Bible, get on your knees, walk, sing, journal. The third one was practice Sabbath. He said, in our lives, the enemy of Sabbath is, I've got to get things done. The enemy of rest is, I've got to get things done. And so we spend 24 hours, a day, 7 days a week, with our to-do list. And he spoke into that reality and said, find one 24-hour period where you can set the to-do list aside and be reminded by God that it doesn't depend on you. In other words, for some of us in this room, as important as we have made ourselves out to be, the Lord is going to be okay for 24 hours without us. Amen? The last one, he says, pray, talk, and listen to God. Spend time in the Word. Seek solitude. Practice Sabbath. And pray, talk, and listen to God. He says, cultivate downward growth in your life so that you may grow deep and strong. And only then will we be able to follow the Lord where He leads us. In other words, if we're not seeking to grow down deep, probably going to have a difficult time taking the Lord up on an offer that challenges our faith, that calls us to take a risk. At this point, he made his full turn in his message, and he said, I want to share with you some of the realities of those in the world today that need forever families. It's currently estimated right now that around the world, there's some 153 million orphans. The term orphan is largely defined as the child for which both parents, sometimes defined as just one parent, but for which both parents are absent or have passed away. Estimated 400,000 in the foster care system in the United States, and that currently 25,000 18-year-olds age out of the foster care system in the United States every year. So to do the quick math, just over 2,000 18-year-olds every month in the U.S. are told your services being provided by the government are over and it's time for you to go on and figure out what's next for your life. I'm not going to put her on the spot this morning, but I am going to reference her. It was that reality that led Lisa Matthews to get involved at Devereaux. She was involved as a part of a school project to address some needs. And if I remember correctly, it was that reality that really attached itself to your heart. What's going to happen to these kids, not kids anymore, but these adults who are in their first or second semester of high school and are now being told, you got to leave. Where am I going to go? We don't have any family. Well, sorry. He gave us this challenge at that point. He asked us this question. He said, what has God placed in your hands? Will everybody just hold out your hands? Now, I know this morning they're probably empty unless you have your phone in it or a pen or you have your Bible or your bulletin or your kid's hand. But he asked the question. He said, what has God placed in your hands? What talents? What resources has God given you? Has God given you the gift of hospitality or compassion? Has God given you lots of money? Has God given you some extra time? Has God given you the ability and the know-how to mentor or tutor? What has God given you that you might be able to bless an orphan or bless a foster child or bless an 18-year-old that has recently aged out? What has God placed in your hand that you might be able to bless the newly adopted family, that you might be able to bless the foster family that's in your midst, that you might be able to bless the poor or the hungry or the lonely child or the isolated child, or you might be able to bless the organization in your community or your city that is blessing this population. You can put your hands down. I sat back at that moment, again, sitting in First Baptist Orlando's worship center. I sat back at that moment, and I couldn't help but ask the question, because I wasn't simply there on that day for Dwayne. See, when I go to things like this, when I'm out in the community, it's bigger than Dwayne. I represent a body of people, the body of Centerpoint Community Church. In that moment, I had to sit back and I had to ask that question. Lord, if Centerpoint figuratively were able to hold her hands out and say, man, what have you given us? God, what have you blessed us with so that we may be able to be a blessing to those around us? We have a 50,000 square foot facility with additional space currently on property. It's additional square footage. We have an industrial kitchen back here. It needs to be cleaned up. It needs a lot of attention. We have an industrial kitchen. We have gym space in this very room and in the yak. We have huge outdoor spaces for recreation and for outreach opportunities. We have one of the greatest locations in this city at the corner of two major thoroughfares of Curry Ford and 417. When I'm out in the community and people say, oh, well, where do you pastor? And I say Centerpoint. And they go, I don't know where that is. I say, at the corner of 417 and Curry Ford. Oh, okay, the big church. No, the other one across the street. Right? They know exactly what I mean when I tell them that. We currently have an incredible preschool that's reaching into literally hundreds of families and children. And the latest efforts, as of about 5 years ago, tell us that there are 80, listen to this, mind-boggling, scary, mind-boggling, 80,000 people under the age of 18 within a 10-mile radius of this building right now. 80,000 people under the age of 18 within a 10-mile radius of this building. And you know what else we have? I believe we have a body of people, a group of people who genuinely want to be able to love and serve their community and their city as the hands and feet of Jesus. He went on to say, he said, every Christian has a stake in these issues because God has a stake in these issues. He said, if we understand and believe the gospel, we will care for vulnerable children, orphans, those in foster care, those with special needs, those who are about to age out and be on their own, and those that are being used and exploited for their bodies today. It was asked of the local church, meaning he was asking rhetorical questions to us at that point, could we agree that this is a problem? He said of pastors, of which there were many other pastors in the crowd, I'm not the only one, but he said of pastors, he said, you need to raise the level of awareness and begin to collaborate with others. Start with families who currently have hearts for children. Open the door, raise awareness, and get out of the way. And here's what he said as an indictment towards the pastors. He said, the pastor is either the key to this issue or the pastor is the problem to this issue. I can tell you, I don't want to be the problem. I want to be the key. I want to be the opportunity to say, look at the needs around us. Is there something we could do about this? But he doesn't let you off the hook either. In fact, another speaker on another night said something that's quite challenging. He said, but it's not just on the pastor. He went so far as to say this, and I quote, he said, you are probably not saved if you don't care about the orphan, the poor, or the oppressed. Ow, that hurt my toes, you know? Probably not a Christian if you don't care about the orphan, the poor, the oppressed. He says this is the byproduct of being in a right relationship with God and walking in step with the Holy Spirit. And so he says, what do we do? He says there's one thing to do today in light of the gospel. There's one thing to do today in light of the story of Jesus. There's one thing to do today in light of the scriptures that call us to stand in the gap on behalf of orphans and foster care kids and those aging out and those that are hurting and those that are oppressed and those that are being exploited today in the world around us. He said that is for us as a people to pray that God will open our hearts and minds so that we might be able to listen to his heart and mind. What should we do? President of CAFO, guy that's really excited and strengthened by this conversation as a pastor of a local church, what should we do? Where should we go? How should we help? You should pray that God will open your hearts and minds to listen to his heart and mind. On another night, there was a gentleman speaking about what it's like to minister to kids and teens, to reach out to the younger generation. You see, I'm an adult. I understand that there's an intimidation factor with those of us who are old fuddy-duds who want to connect with the younger generations. Right? That's the truest thing I've said today. You know what I'm talking about. You see a group of teenagers and you go the other direction because they might look at you and say, well, you don't even know what Snapchat is, do you, old person, right? He says, when it comes to ministering to kids and teens, what matters most is that you sow, back to the seed analogy, you sow with your time. Identify a kid and invest time intentionally. He said, trust is spelled T-I-M-E. And he said, before you can ever correct a young person, you must have connected with that young person. There's this list of barriers that we can eliminate if we would be willing to reach out to the next generation. I'm just going to give you 10 of them. Things that you could essentially help eliminate from a young person's life if you were willing to invest time, energy, love into this young person, you might be able to get rid of the barrier that they have in a lack of confidence. If there are those that are experiencing violence in their life, you could be an advocate. If there are those that are being raised in a single parent home and that parent needs extra love and support for their child, or maybe at Devereaux they're in a group foster care situation and they need mentors and friends to come in, it could be that you could be a voice of protection for those that are being bullied. It could be that you could be a provider to those that are experiencing a lack of resources. That you could be a voice of hope for those that are experiencing a low self-esteem. That you could be a voice of calm and an arm around the shoulder of the one who's experiencing anxiety. That you could be a voice of calm and reason for the one who is angry. That you could be a place of protection or refuge for the one who's being abused. And that you could be a voice of hope, a voice of reality for one that's experiencing racial prejudice. And so on another occasion at the CAFO conference, Josh Shipp said, every kid is one caring adult away from being a success story. Every kid is just one caring adult away from being a success story. Now, in my own story, in my own walk that week through that conference, I went through a range of emotions and feelings. I went through a range of thoughts. I've said this already, but I went into the event kind of cautionary, right? Be on the lookout for those who want to grab and pull you into the other room. And just keep your guard up, Dwayne. Hold your cards close to your chest. But the more I was there and the more I saw what was going on at CAFO, the more excitement I felt. Man, what does this look like? I actually went to a breakout session entitled, Should You Adopt? And what I realized is, whereas I had come into this, I had come into this conference with this idea that they're going to try to get me to adopt a child. I know that's what they're going to do. To sitting in a room with people that are much more educated and well versed on these issues than I am, being able to look me in the face and say, if God's not calling you to adopt, the last thing you need to do is adopt a child. And before you ever consider it, here's some questions you need to be able to answer about this process. And what I began to realize is this wasn't a bait and switch at all. These were people who have a heart for the demographic and the population that we're talking about this morning, who want to put things in place and ministries in place and systems in place to love them and serve them as best they can. But I went from those feelings of excitement to literally being overwhelmed by the amount of need that was represented there. And so I journaled one night. Sitting there in my seat, I simply said, there is so much need in the world. Help me, Lord, to focus. There's so much need in the world, much, much more need than I can address with what's in my hands or even in the hands of Centerpoint Church. There's so much need, Lord, help us to focus. But I realize that our own stories are different, and it could be that the Lord has something to say to you individually or as a family that's different from what the Lord would have to say to me. And so the question was asked earlier, would we begin to pray that God will open up our hearts and minds to listen to His heart and mind? You have your pens ready? I want to give you a couple of resources. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, Dwayne, I've never really been exposed to this conversation at all. This is all brand new to me. I'm going to give you some places you could look, see if there's opportunities there, see if the Lord would say anything to you there. There may be some family in here today that says, wow, we've been praying and thinking towards adoption, or we've been praying and thinking towards foster care, and this is what we need to take the next step in that. My hope is that there's none of us in here today that are resistant to this idea. And if that's the case, I pray the Lord will soften your heart as much as mine through this process. The first one is simply this. A lot of resources right here. MyFLFamilies.com. MyFloridaFamilies.com. If you go to that website, you'll find a lot of information, a lot of resources for a lot of different arenas surrounding these issues. A lot to explore there by way of information, by way of outlets, by way of support, answering some questions. Probably a much larger organization, and maybe I don't even know enough about the process to put these guys up on the screen, but Bethany Christian Services. If you have questions about what it would look like to adopt, maybe particularly adopt internationally, could begin there to start seeking out resources and starting to ask questions, what would it look like for us to go down this road? She doesn't know I'm going to do this, but Lisa Matthews is sitting right down here to my right on the front row with her husband Cliffy, who celebrated his 52nd birthday this week. Lisa, how long have you been at Devereaux now? 3 years? 3 years. 3 years, every fourth Sunday, Cliff and Lisa and whatever group comes along with them goes to Devereaux to celebrate all of the birthdays for that month. Devereaux is a group foster care home right here in your city in the Pine Hills community where kids stay. Sometimes they're in and out. Sometimes there are those that stay longer than others. But group foster care, their moms and dads are out of the picture. They need love and support. They've been leading that effort now for 3 years. If you're there and you say, no way, Dwayne, could we adopt right now? No way could we foster right now? Perhaps one Sunday a month, you'd be willing to go to them. You'd be willing to go to Devereaux and bless with a birthday party, get to know some kids, play some games, love on them in the ways that they need it. And lastly, but definitely not least, we've been blessed right here in Centerpoint Church with families who have been on their own journey through this process much longer than I have, know a lot more about these issues than I do. And so I want to highlight them today by way of saying if you had questions about this process and if there's any way they could come alongside you, these would be some great families to seek out for some questions and some answers, perhaps some prayer and some guidance. The Crowder family. sitting right over here. Can you wave everybody? Hi. You can seek out the Crowder family. Keep going. You can go to the Foster family. No pun intended. Yeah. The Foster family, Gary and Bev right here, just this morning celebrated the adoption of 5 children. Excellent resource to reach out to right here, sitting literally in this room with you about the process of domestic adoption. The Myers family, if you had questions about international adoption and their own journey and what it looked like for them to walk that road to bring Anna into their lives, you could speak to Don or Debbie. The Osteens, if you wanted to talk about foster care or adoption, again, sitting right here in this room with us, Rick and Karen Osteen, talk to them, corner them, pull them aside. Rick loves to have long conversations on Wednesday between 1 and 6 when he's in the kitchen cooking our food for us. And last, definitely not least, the Tills, right back here. It's so amazing how you guys are here this morning. This is great. It's bad when you're like, the Till family. Well, they're not here today. They're at the beach. But they're really cool if you find them. They've got a lot of... But the Till family, sitting right back here. We all wave at us, Greg, Caroline, right here. If you had questions, again, about local adoption, you could seek them out. Talk to them about their process. Talk to them about Derek and Eli and the journey that they've been on as a family. We're missing a couple of families. There's actually about 2 more families represented that we weren't able to get pictures of today. But my point is, there are websites to go to. There are places to seek out resources, and there are also incredible people resources right here in this room of what this could look like if the Lord is leading you in that direction, or if you'd just be willing to pray about the direction the Lord would lead you. Now, like you, it can be scary to see pictures of people up in front of you who have done amazing things over the course of the years of their lives. And the goal this morning is not to compare. It's not to say, wow, if all of you were like the Crowders, boy, we'd be good to go. If all of you were like the Foster family, you'd all be whipped into shape. That's not it. And so I have another quote I want to share with you today. One gentleman at one point in the midst of the CAFO conference, he said, comparison to others is death. You hear that? Comparison to others is death. Be who God made you to be and do what God has called you to do. Not by comparing yourself to the gifts, the journeys, the paths of others, but simply opening up your hands and saying, Lord, what I have is available to you, and determining in your own heart and life that you're going to grow deep, and that as you grow deep, you'll follow the Lord when and how he leads you. Amen? Let's pray together. God, would you today, God, for some of us, begin for the first time, and for others, maybe just bring some renewed clarity, Lord, to what you would have us do and who you would have us be as it relates to this conversation. God, there are a lot of issues in this world, and we know that statistics can often numb us to the realities around us. But God, you prove through the efforts of people right here in our community, right here in this body, right here in our church, Lord, that we can take steps to reach out into the lives of others and be faithful to the call that you place on our lives. And at no point, Lord, do we want to go after, God, anything that would say of our lives that we're simply trying to grow tall. But God, I pray that today, as we as a people would determine to grow deep with you, to find ourselves immersed and enmeshed in the spiritual disciplines of prayer and of Scripture, God, of solitude and of Sabbath, God, that you would be faithful to speak and you would be faithful to point us in the directions that you would have us go, not only as a church, but maybe even more specifically as individuals and as families. And God, whatever part you would call us to play, God, not only make that clear to us, but God, give us opportunities to go and to do and to be who you're calling us to be. And Lord, we do pray today, God, we pray for the hundreds of millions of orphans around the world. God, for those today who ask again today, will I have a forever family? Will I be loved and welcomed in? And if I am, will I know how to love and receive love and be loved? God, we pray today for the efforts that are going on, God, right here in our city. God, through Devereaux, through the Baptist Children's Home, through the United Methodist Children's Home, God, for the opportunities that are out there that maybe we could be faithful to seek out. God, we pray today for the 25,000 who will age out of the system this year and find themselves in a no man's land looking and trying to figure out what's next. God, if we have a part to play in these realities, point us in those directions and help us to be faithful. So whatever this looks like for us as a local body and for us as families, God, simply help us to follow after you, to obey your voice at each step. We love you today. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us. God, help us to use those in the lives of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was one statistic that I left out. Of the estimated 400,000 in the foster care system in the U.S., the other really kind of scary prophetic statistic that goes with that is that if one family from every two congregations, Christian congregations in the U.S., would adopt a foster kid, there would be no domestic foster issue in the United States. If just one family from every two churches in the U.S. would adopt domestically, that issue would be taken care of for the time being. So I don't know how the Lord will lead and guide you in my own life and with my own wife. We talk about it. We pray about it. We seek to remain open. Next week, we're going to do something, again, that we've never done before. Please don't be late next week. Our ushers might keep you at the door and say, sorry, it's already started. You can't. No, we won't do that. But seriously, next week when you come in, we've got some other things we're going to do. But when you come in, there'll be popcorn and soda. We're going to have a movie morning. We're going to watch a movie called Find Me. It's a documentary about a couple folks who started helping others with international adoption and then started telling their stories. And just want you to focus your attention on the screen as we view this trailer together.